And for anyone who is in Christ, there is a new creation. The old order has passed away. Now everything is new. All this is from God, who ransomed us through Christ and made us minister of that reconciliation. This means that through Christ, the world was fully reconciled again to God, who didn't hold our transgressions against us, but instead entrusted us with this message of reconciliation. This makes us Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making the appeal directly through us. Therefore, we implore you, in Christ's name, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made the one who was without sin to be sin, so that by this means we might become the very holiness of God. May God help us to take to heart this word from our Holy Scriptures. This week, as I was thinking about the message and all that is happening these days, but I was thinking particularly about National Indigenous Day and about reconciliation and about what is involved in the act of reconciliation, not just with our Indigenous neighbors, but in this highly fractured world these days. First of all, we have to understand what reconciliation is. Reconciliation is the process of moving from relationships that have been strained or broken or harmed to restored relationships through truth, accountability, and healing. Therefore, reconciliation has to be based on trust. Now, trust is a very loaded word these days. There is so much mistrust in our world and so much that we probably shouldn't trust anymore. As AI or artificial intelligence proliferates at an alarming rate all over the world, it's really hard to know these days who or what to trust. How many of you use AI? For example, ChatGPT, Canva, Gemini, Grok, Microsoft Copilot, Alexa, Siri, Google, any Google gadgets you have. They're all AI-generated information. No one who watches the news or listens to the radio or picks up the paper is immune to AI these days. It is being used to create images and information and misinformation, used to mimic reality. It is used to organize our lives. I have Alexa set to tell me when to water my plants every week to remind me. We use it for advice. It is used by scammers, used by influencers for informing and misleading. For those of you who don't directly tap into AI, you're still being exposed to it every day. Our last AGM, we used an AI platform to generate the video for our meeting. We are all exposed to it every day, and most of the time we don't know it. I received two pretty credible scam texts this week. They didn't used to get to our cell phones, now they can get to our cell phones, that were most likely generated using AI. That's the reality these days. We don't know what to trust then. In 2025, the Edelman Trust Barometer Canada report revealed a deepening crisis of faith in Canada, with growing economic grievances, skepticism toward leadership, and heightened fears of misinformation on the rise. This report is now in its 25th year, and the report highlights the widening trust gap in Canadian society, with institutions facing mounting pressure to rebuild confidence and credibility. That is, institutions need to engender trust in the public. And I'm not sure they're going to be able to do it. There is another report that I found from February this year, which says trust might be slightly on the rise in Canada right now. Surprisingly, it's because of our federal government. Trust is rising a little bit. But here are a few surprising key findings from that study. Businesses remain the most trusted institutions. Mostly because we trust businesses to do what they say they're going to do, sell stuff to us. But there is a lack of optimism for future generations. Only 36% of Canadians believe the next generation will be better off than today, with pessimism especially high among the older age groups about the future. It's another one. That support for hostile activism among young Canadians is growing. 40% of Canadians approve of at least one form of hostile activism, particularly among young people. There is a lot of information on the Eidelman Trust website. That's not all, but take a look yourself if you like. It just highlights that mistrust in our society is a huge problem. And it's even huger because if we begin to mistrust everyone or reject the truth because we don't know what the truth is or can't tell the difference between truth and lies, we are going to create a very angry, closed-hearted, insular world where people cannot come together to create a better world. If we cannot come together because we don't trust each other, we cannot build something better. A distrustful society is a broken society. This week, I read a transcript from a TED Talk by Sam Gregory. He's a technologist and human rights activist who writes a lot about AI. And he said that we're fast approaching a world where widespread, hyper-realistic deepfakes lead us to dismiss reality. What happens to democracy, he said, when we can't trust what we see, read, or hear? And it's just been in the news in this last couple of weeks about the deepfakes with women. And women's faces being used in pornography and that sort of thing. It's not good. And it's getting harder, he says, to spot the real from fake. AI generated from human generated. With generative AI, along with other advances in deep fakery, it doesn't take many seconds of your own voice or many images of your face to recreate you and to fake you and your voice. And he says the realism keeps increasing. It might get disheartening, what I'm saying, to think that we will no longer be able to discern reality from disinformation and deception. Because healthy relationships and healthy societies rely on trust, integrity, and mutual respect between people, between governments, businesses, institutions, even the church. And when we don't have trust, we do not function well in any relationship, and we cannot bring about reconciliation without trust. This is where we come in. This is where the church comes in. Paul says that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, which sometimes means having the courage to say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's come together. Let's have the difficult conversations before the relationships fail. Or to be in the world bringing about those kinds of conversations to work things out. Doesn't mean that all relationships can be reconciled. There has to be a willingness on both sides to have good, honest, even painful conversations grounded in respect and love for each other. If you don't have that, you can't bring about reconciliation. Trust only grows in relationships where integrity is practiced. Relationships flourish where truth is spoken. And the paths between us become strong again when we can rebuild them together from both sides. We have to trust in order to be a healthy society, to be in healthy relationships, to create resilience in our communities. And it's trust that is eroding these days in our world. We as Christians in particular have to be people of integrity. That's really, really important. Trustworthy people who show the world what healthy communities and healthy relationships look like. In the church, we need to work hard to make our communities places of truth and honesty and integrity. And just like any other institution, the church is not a particularly trusted institution these days. Because just like any other institution, the church is prone to lies and corruption and scandal. We have to be honest about this. We have to admit it. So here are some of the qualities that we really have to strive for in ourselves and in the church. We must be to the world who we say we are going to be. We have to love well. We have to be trustworthy. And we must speak the truth. Not our truth, the truth, even when it makes us look bad. One of the things I do appreciate about the United Church is we try to admit it when we make mistakes. And we've done it a lot. We need to own up to our mistakes and change them, which is a huge virtue these days because nobody seems to want to admit to their own mistakes. We need to be people of integrity behind closed doors, not just in public. What you do at home matters. How you are at home matters. We need to do what we say we'll do. We need to follow through on our promises. We need to be generous in our encouragement and gratitude and support of everybody outside our doors, and we need to show up for others. That's each of us, and that's the church. Only when integrity is present does trust become possible. When trust becomes possible, then reconciliation can take root. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation is like this. It's like building a bridge between two parties. It's not a miracle that happens overnight. It's a structure we build board by board by board towards each other, truth by truth, apology by apology, act of love by act of love, until the distance between the two parties become crossable again. And it's not about pretending that nothing happened. Some of us just say, oh, it's okay. But those little microaggressions, those little hurts, matter. We can't pretend that they don't happen. But face what happened with honesty and courage. That's the only way we can regain trust. Reconciliation is not cheap grace. It's not a shortcut. It is not a demand placed on those who have been wounded to compromise and let things go. It's actually a process that honors truth and dignity on the part of both parties. In Scripture, reconciliation is described as God's movement towards humanity with love, healing, and restoration. God initiates reconciliation with us. Not us with God, God with us. God initiates reconciliation through Christ, bringing everybody back into relationship with God. And God then entrusts us with the ministry of doing the same in the world. Churches of anywhere else in the world have to be places of integrity and honesty. When Paul writes in 2 Corinthians that the love of Christ compels us, he is naming the force that moves us toward one another. even when relationships feel strained or fragile or fractured. You know, when Jesus said you need to love your neighbor as yourself, he meant it. Love your neighbor. Doesn't mean you have to like them. Doesn't mean you have to agree with them. Love is not about that. It is love, not fear, not obligation, not religious pressure, that draws us into the work of reconciliation. And in a world where trust is often broken and integrity is too often optional in our world, Paul's words feel like a challenge to us and a lifeline at the same time. Paul then speaks of a new creation, a new way of being in relationship with God, with one another, and with ourselves. It is a relationship of love. It's not about pretending that the past didn't happen. It's not about erasing wounds or minimizing harm. Instead, it's about opening the possibility of transformation, real transformation, the kind that grows from truth-telling and accountability and the courage to repair what has been damaged. Far too often I see in the church, people let things go because they don't go deeper. We know each other, but sometimes we don't agree with each other and we don't go deeper. We don't have those deep relationships. Reconciliation is not a passive state. It is an active calling. And Paul says that God has entrusted us with this ministry, which means that we are always invited to be bridge builders in a world that loves its walls. But bridges cannot stand if we don't keep working on them, maintaining them. And trust cannot exist without integrity. Good relationships, whether between individuals or communities or entire systems, depend on the steady, patient work of aligning our actions with our values. Integrity doesn't mean that we're perfect. It is consistency. It is the willingness to show up honestly, to admit that we're wrong, to listen when we would rather defend, and to repair when we would rather retreat. Imagine what it would look like if we took this ministry seriously. Imagine a community where apologies are not signs of weakness, but instead signs of strength, where accountability for people's actions is not a punishment, but a pathway toward healing, where boundaries are honored, where truth is spoken with compassion, where forgiveness is offered without erasing the past, and where justice and mercy walk hand in hand. Imagine relationships built not on fear or convenience, but on trust. Trust that grows from integrity, from the daily practice of aligning our lives with the love we actually proclaim. I am so grateful for this community, for teaching me what trust means, and for trust, showing the trust that you have given me, and for being people of integrity. I know a lot of communities of faith where the relationship between the ministers and the community have broken down, where there's not a lot of trust between them. I am so grateful for these two communities, St. Andrews and Okotoks. Trust takes time to build, and we have built it slowly together. And soon you're going to have somebody else in a leadership position in this community of faith. Get to know them, tell them your stories, and let them get to know you. You know, some people, and you want to give them a little time, but some people think we're going to leave the new minister alone because they need to settle in. What's their job? It's to get to know the communities. It's to get to know you well. That's their job. Don't leave them alone too long. Make an appointment. Come in. Sit down, even for half an hour with them, and tell them your story. Let them get to know you. The more they know you, the more comfortable you are with them and they are with this community. That's what they need to do, and that's what you can do for them. Build relationships based on truth and trust. And if we can't do that in the church, where are we going to do it in our world? In a world where it is increasingly hard to know who to trust, let's hope that the church is a place where we can come and trust people. It is imperative that churches be a place of refuge, a safe space for people to come and build strong relationships and to create a resilient community, especially as the world seems to fracture more and more. May we be the people who embody this ministry with courage, because we are all connected together. And don't think for a moment that just because I am moving out of this position, I am not connected to you. The rainbow connection. We are connected forever, because I know your stories and you know my stories, and I'm not going to be that far away. So I'm going to hear or run into you in the grocery store and say, I love that person. I've known that person to be a person of integrity. I know some of their story. They know some of my story. We can't be disconnected ever. May we be a community and continue to be a community where trust is nurtured, where integrity is lived, and where reconciliation is not just a word, but it is a way of life. And may the love of Christ, the love that compels, transforms, and restores, guide us on this journey every single step of the way. Amen. Let's take a moment for reflection.